there's a serious problem.
Warrant? Why is it that the football donuts went first? They're seasonal.
Right.
People appreciate seasonal things.
Somebody passed him out.
When I see your father, I always remind him of what he said.
Morning.
Before that draft.
How are you today?
Where they took Sam Darnold.
The reporting's already started, so don't say anything you regret.
He said I'd stay away from that Josh Allen.
I remind him of it every time.
He actually said that.
I still in a good spot? I hope so.
They passed on a lot of people, not just him. Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Where's Freeman? Left?
He said the recording already started.
Okay. So both like good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, or those who will come. Today's share is entitled The Consequences of Canceling Debt. And I always like to share it to be apolitical and not to get into any political points, but I can't not mention a big topic which was recently debated in the public forum. And again, we're not getting political. Welcome. Recently, it's been debated in the political forum the idea of canceling debt. And the president took action that would enable the canceling of debt of student loans to many college students. And in the public forum, it was debated, is that a smart thing to do or not? Is that the responsible thing to do or not? Here you have people, besides the legalities, we have lawyers here.
It's not legal.
But here we have people that took out student loans to go to college. We could be talking about a lot of money. And, you know, other people took out those loans and spent years paying off their debts. Here, because of circumstance, whatever the justifications, we're giving a pass, we're giving a holiday, we're exempting some people from paying their debts. And there is a strong debate on both sides, the pros and the cons of such an idea. I think many Jews said, yeah, it's irresponsible, you know, took, I would say, the anti-side of such an argument. Yeah, it's irresponsible. You're canceling people's debts. Paying debt is just a fabric of society. How can we do such a thing? Well, if you look in the Torah, there is a clear example of such an idea. And that halacha is something which is particularly relevant today and for the next 2 weeks in particular. After that, we have trouble. There's a concept of Shmitas Kesafim. So that's, we all know the idea of a sabbatical year for our fields. We gave a shiur about that. Land in Israel has a sabbatical year and farmers are not supposed to work it. But together with that, although it's a totally different avenue, there's an idea of any loan, and we'll get to the specifics of it, that a person has every 7 years is wiped out. That means if there is a loan that's due now, before Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up, according to the basic idea in the Torah, such a debt would be canceled. So canceling of debt is not a democratic thing, a Republican idea, not a democratic thing, not a Republican idea. It's a Torah idea. And I first would like to share with you what's the idea behind it, what's the rationale, why did Hashem command us with such a mitzvah? You can make the same arguments. Doesn't it sound irresponsible? Here, a person lent money, and he's not going to get his money back. The debt's going to be canceled. How would you like that if you lent $10,000 to somebody and, you know, comes Rosh Hashanah this year, that debt will be canceled if we don't utilize Prizbol and other halachic means. Right? So hold on. Shh.
doesn't cancel.
Now, correct. I should say this right at the beginning. Debt applies to interpersonal loans, even corporations' loans. But tzedakah, nedarim, people that pledge money to yeshiva, that is not canceled by Shemitah. Sorry. No free ride. You have to give back that toaster, that prize you received for donating. But I would like to read to you the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch is a wonderful, important Sefer, right? It was written by a Rishon, say, giving an idea behind the mitzvahs as sort of a present to bar mitzvah boys coming of age. And look what he writes. He gives three reasons behind this mitzvah of canceling debt. Number one, Shvitas Kesafim Gamkein Osatam Nimshach Lulami D'Nafshenu, reading the fourth line. The Midas Mu'ulas Midas and the Divas V'Ayin Tov. Firstly, a reason why it's a positive thing to cancel debt, it teaches us to be more giving, to have more of a positive perspective, to help out people in need. And that's a good Jewish midah, to help out people, to give to a person who might be in need. Such a thing is a positive. A second reason, v'nikva b'libeinu habitachon agalu b'shem baruchu, v'az tachshir nafshin l'kabel tov nis adonah kol, kol ha'birchus v'rachu v'rachamim. Another reason behind the mitzvah is bitachon, to have faith in Hashem. And I would say similar to a farmer. A farmer is told it's the Shemitah year, you're supposed to sit back, maybe you should come to Kolel, come to Shiurim, but sit back, you don't have to work your field, and Hashem's going to take care of you. Obviously that takes a certain amount of faith. I'm not going to go to work for a year, and I expect my bills to be paid. That's a big deal. So similarly, a person thinks, I lent $10,000 to this person. Hey, I gave that money. I want that money back. Now, you know, you make a normal loan, you know, let's say starting from this Rosh Hashanah, you know, obviously the person has to pay it back. It's only when it gets close to Shemitah, a loan that's due, there you have this issue. And the Torah is saying, realize, I know you gave them that, you were expecting that money back. But I'm the one, Hashem says, who end of the day provides your sustenance, your parnasa. And look, if you let this debt go, don't worry, I'll pay it back to you. So a second element, besides it's helping a person's nidos in general to be a more giving person, more positive person towards another person, it additionally helps a person to be tachon, his faith in Hashem. And thirdly, the gam nimsa mizeh geder chazak mechitza shel barzel l'sarachim mi'od min hagezel min hachemda b'chol shei l'reyim. The natural human tendency is a certain jealousy, and you admire, you know, what's going on with the Joneses or the Schwartzes. Excuse me. But you look at what others have. People can get jealous. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, the idea of canceling debt will help that. Why? Because a person's smart enough to make this following idea. Afil ha'visa m'menu v'yigia shnas ha'shmita amr Torah l'ashm v'yad ha'milva. The Torah says I have to be caring for someone else's money, and when Shemitah comes, I'm not collecting my debt. Shalom goes over lo chamas mishalom, not to steal, not to put pressure on someone for his property. Lo kosher gain sheroy l'tzrach l'kseyatzro. So certainly the Torah wants me to go away to the nth degree from financially hurting another Jew, from stealing from him, from wanting what he has. It gives us a positive perspective of sort of what's mine is mine, and don't touch what belongs to somebody else. So similarly, if a person inculcates these ideas, the to be magnanimous, to be generous, to have faith in Hashem, and to realize, look, the Torah is saying this money is not your money. You think normally a debt is I'm collecting my money. He has my money. Torah is saying after Shemitah comes, it's not your money. So these are all positive things a person would gain from having this. Yes?
If the loan's collateralized, would it fall under this?
Excellent. We'll talk about that. Now, I'll get into all the specifics of the debts in a moment. Now, I push back. Now we can hear maybe the side of why it's not so irresponsible to cancel debts. You know, there are positives that the lender gains by canceling these debts. There are positives there. At the same time, everything in life is a balance. And the Gemara talks about the problems the Jewish society had in regards to this mitzvah in particular. It's a Gemara, Maseches Gittin, a famous, important Gemara. The Gemara there talks about different takanos, different enactments that the rabbis made for the benefit of society. So one of them, the Gemara says, was Hillel Hiskin Prizbal. Hillel made an enactment to stop the canceling of debt, to undermine the canceling of debt. And the Gemara explains the sociological reasons why he did that. It's not hasam. Prizbal ain't a mishamit. Prizbal stops Shemitah from canceling debt. Ze'echem in advarim shehiskin Hillel Hazaken. These are one of the takanos that Hillel Hazaken made. What was the effect he saw in his time? This is going back times of Hillel, right? Mishnayos. Hillel saw what was going on with Shemitah's Ksafim. These nice ideals that the Torah had, unfortunately, the people way back in the times of the Mishnah weren't living up to those ideals. And, you know,
surprisingly,
maybe the Sefer HaKadosh wasn't written at that point, right? So maybe there wasn't enough good PR, good understanding, the reasonings and the benefits of the mitzvah of Shemitah's Ksafim. And, you know, they didn't cancel the halachas of Shemitah on land. Nowadays, we didn't cancel it, but we do a lot to help out farmers because we do understand that it is very hard for people, especially not everybody who owns land in Israel today are religious Jews. And there's a lot of, you know, chizuk. We had a beautiful thing here in Yeshiva. We actually had a farmer come and speak to the Talmidim. You see the person's like faith in Hashem was unbelievable. But so Baruch Hashem, Shemitah, Hillel didn't have to make a takana. That's still standing strong today. But when it comes to money, more direct money, Hillel, in the times of Hillel, people stopped lending money. People didn't want to lend their money and have it just canceled on the onset of Rosh Hashanah following the Shemitah year. People did not want that. And therefore, what had happened? People stopped lending money. And that itself violates a Torah commandment. The Torah warns us, right, just a couple parshiyos ago, we should be careful not to do something which is wrong and not lend money to other Jews. Amma v'hiskin prosbal. So Hillel saw the facts on the ground. He saw the situation. And with his rabbinic authority, made a takana, made an enactment, right? What we call in the president's, you know, right?
Executive.
executive order that Hillel made. Okay, we're having a takana that Shemitah, if you utilize the document institution of a prosbul, then Shemitah will not cancel the loan. And this way, Jewish society again, circle restarted and people started lending money and everything was good. Now, what I would like to talk about today, I don't know who's going to save American society if what happens after executive orders. But what I would like to talk about today is really two parts. Number one is to understand what's included in this concept of Shemitah's Kesafim. What type of debts would be canceled? And then secondly, to understand the practical prosbul, how we go about utilizing a prosbul that our debts are not canceled. I'd like to go through both of those parts. And let me just emphasize, seemingly the first part is important too, because you have to know what is prosbul on, what constitutes, you know, what would be canceled. Not every debt, as was mentioned before, a debt to an institution, right? A charity donation is not included in that. But we should know what debts are included in that. Especially there are, unfortunately, cases.
Past due tuition.
Huh?
Past due tuition.
Past due tuition.
Low tuition for the last 2 years.
Okay, very interesting, right?
It's not tuition, it's more debt at that time.
Very good point. But okay, we'll talk about that, perhaps. Does, you know, different types of monetary obligations as time elapses could change their categorization. It's a very good point. Something could start off not as a debt, but then becomes a debt. Okay, we'll talk about that, perhaps. But
I'm sure they do a prosbul.
Yeah.
Maybe a double
prosbul. You can look in the back of your sheets, you might see. But I think the one that I have in the back of the sheets is a private one. But maybe not, right? You can check the address given, but no, you might recognize. Now, firstly, let's clarify, when exactly does Shemitah take effect? Shemitah of money. So the halacha brings that the simple idea, right? There is, I'll explain in a moment, one other shita out there. The way most Rishonim learn, the way the Shulchan Aruch learns, the canceling of debt begins at the onset of Rosh Hashanah, Tav Shin Pei Gimel, this year coming up. That is when the debt officially cancels. That means the last moment that you have to write a prosbul is Erev Rosh Hashanah, right before you come to Shul for Mincha, the High Holy Days. That's the last time you have to write a prosbul. So being that we're literally 2 weeks away, now's a good time. You know, it does get tricky if you make a loan post your signing of a prosbul, then it wouldn't be covered. But already now's a good time to have in your mindset to get involved with this document. We could refer you where to get these documents, and we'll get to the practicalities of it. But the Shemitah's Kesafim, that canceling of debt, is going to happen at the onset of this year in Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, this year before Rosh Hashanah, people write prosbuls. Now, there is an opinion in the Gemara, in the Rosh, in Maseches Gittin, that he says that Shemitah's Kesafim coincides with the Shemitah year. That means the canceling of debt was last Rosh Hashanah, which would mean it's too late to collect a debt. And any debt that you collected this year was already post facto had been canceled. However, the Shulchan Aruch does not pass them like that. The Shulchan Aruch says we did not take that opinion, that the Shemitah already began last year. Rather, we said it's after Shemitah. It's based on the Pesukim. It's after Shemitah. There are those that are machmer and sign a prosbul both last Rosh Hashanah and this Rosh Hashanah. But the normative halacha is just to do one this year. That's why we're having to share this year. We didn't have to share last year.
Rolando was signed before Schmidt started, and you did that Pros Bowl already last year. You still have to do a new one?
Excellent question. If you did a Pros Bowl last year, do you still have to do one this year? The answer is absolutely yes, because, you know, business happens over the year.
No, I'm saying nothing.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
So if nothing happened, then you wouldn't. But the odds are, for many people, things happen. Now, especially we'll see in a moment what constitutes loans that get canceled. You know what? Why don't I jump to that now? I'll skip that just for your question. So normally we think of loans, we think of monetary loans. I'm giving you money, you're going to pay me back by this time. That's a loan. Now, let's say it's a 10-year loan, for example. 3 years ago, you gave someone money with a payback time of 10 years. Bond. That is not canceled, the Shemitah. Shemitah only cancels a debt where the debt was due before this Rosh Hashanah. So a debt which goes beyond that, a debt which is not yet due, you can still collect. And that means, let's say even you made a loan today, that's going to go for the next, you pay me back in a month, right? The Gemara, the Torah has an idea of Stam Halva is 30 days. A normal loan you give to a person, if you don't speak out the terms, it's 30 days. So if I made one today, and it would carry over, therefore, to the middle of Tishrei, right? Before Sukkot, right? Erev Sukkot, we'll call it. That loan is not canceled by Shemitah, and that loan you could collect, you know, on Erev Sukkot.
In your example of a 10-year loan given 3 years ago, if payments are made every month, so let's say 36 payments were due before and they didn't make them, do those get canceled and the remaining 7 years stay on?
Very interesting, right? Shh. Boy, oh boy. You know, you have to prepare for this type of share between the lawyers, the doctors, and then the people in finance, right? We have all areas. So, Alan, you bring up a very good question. You're saying, let's say you need a payment structure where there are benchmarks. You have to pay this money by that time. So does that make a big loan into sort of broken individual loans? And we'll say that loan is already due. That loan isn't due. So don't view it as a 10-year loan. View it as really a monthly loan over the course of 10 years. Very interesting. I did not see that spelled out, right? You know, it's smarter than that. But I would think once the debt is due, then you're right. L'chara, that then is something which would be subject to Shemitah, and it would knock it off. So therefore, if you do have a loan that's structured like that, it's a 10-year loan.
Mortgage.
Right, like a home mortgage. So you really don't view a home mortgage as a 30-year loan or a 15-year loan. It really, it does have payments that are due. So I'm not sure. I would hear the tzad, but I'm not 100% sure. I would think that it would be considered a debt, and you would have to make sure to have a Pros Bowl. Yes?
What about business accounts receivable? So you never actually loan the money.
Okay.
That they owe, that they still owe it.
I forgot to mention the accountants, and he's making me pay. Pun intended. That's pretty good, huh? Now, yeah, I saw a similar, right, I was about the line that I went back to make sure I skipped because of the question. Let's say a check didn't clear. Right. You put out the money, so you went to cash the check, and the check didn't clear until after Rosh Hashanah.
You mean check for the loan proceeds?
Yeah, someone owes money, accounts payable. So I have down here, based on my research, that you can't collect that.
You can.
That was not under your Pros Bowl, but that was a debt. It didn't clear until after Rosh Hashanah. That might skip and be tricky. So
could be counted as paid when you gave the check, you intended the money was in your account?
Right. So I saw Rabbi Reisman has a whole little piece on this in his Sefer. He said, according to banking laws, that was his take on it. A check does not represent a transfer of funds. It's not as if you're giving over cash. So therefore, it's an order of payment which instructs the banks to release the funds. Until the funds are actually released, the debt remains unpaid. When Rosh Hashanah passes, the loan may no longer be collected. So yes, this stuff, now again, if we're going to have pros, we'll have to see if pros bulls can take care of this. But yes, this Shemitah's Kesef and canceling debts might put some extra strain and focus on the accountants. Oh yes, Mr. Accountant.
So is there a difference between a loan and a debt incurred in the ordinary course of business? You're a store, you're constantly buying merchandise. You pay it every 30 days or 20 days or whatever the case may be. It's not really a loan.
So I have similar, I have down here, doctors. That, let's say, right, the normal procedure is they build an insurance company, and if insurance doesn't cover everything, then they'll pass it on to the patient. So that also could get into a tricky area where doctors may not be able to collect from insurance bills that were generated before Rosh Hashanah.
You said not to get sick until 30.
Yes, absolutely.
Does this only apply to Jews or non-Jews as well?
This only applies to Jews.
Right, the goyim still owe the money.
Yes. But let me get back to my other element. Now that we really broadened this idea, all different scenarios, all different cases, it doesn't just apply to cash. Let's say I loan something where someone's gonna give me back that item. Not he's borrowing it from me in the sense he's giving me back the she'ela, giving me back my same item, but he's gonna compensate me and give me back another of that item. Classically speaking, right, you lend eggs, you lend household items, you know, right? Whatever it is, they're going to buy you back something. That also, in halachic terms, is a loan. And those type of loans would also be canceled by Shemitah.
Borrow a cup of sugar.
Yes. Now, you might say, it's not just a big deal, okay, a cup of sugar. But all these things, if you would collect that after Shemitah, that would be a problem. You didn't have a Prosbol. If we have a Prosbol, then everything is covered, which is why we're going to see in a moment. It's a very important document. Now, I'd like to point out a very important situation. These halachas of debts, canceling of debt and Prosbol, in general, is observed by religious Jews that are cognizant of these halachas, right? I can definitely see scenarios, right? If somebody's busy with their business and, you know, didn't show up to the Rav Shir on the Shabbos afternoon or a Shir like this Sunday morning, wasn't in Shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah, they don't usually go to Shul during the week, this, they're not holding an halacha, it's very likely that come Erev Rosh Hashanah, they didn't sign a Prosbol, and once the clock strikes 12, right, New Year starts, not 12, it's even earlier than that, Shkia,
you turn into a pumpkin.
Yes, your castle might turn into, your chariot might turn into a pumpkin. You lost your money. Halakhically speaking, you didn't write a Prosbol, Pashup Shah, simply put, one might say, therefore, they don't have their money. So that is an issue, and therefore, you know, I think shuls should send out reminders to the congregants and their members about Prosbol. Rabbanim should speak to, make sure to reach every Jew about this. Yes?
There's an implication that maybe, possibly, it would be okay to take advantage of somebody who...
So I'm about to get to that point. So what could happen from this type of situation is, look, Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of Jews out there. But unfortunately, not everybody yet is well-educated in Torah. And there are a lot of secular Jews who will not be writing a Prosbol. So what happens then? And yeah, so then that means if I borrowed money from a non-practicing Jew, I don't have to pay him back?
Doesn't look very good.
That does not look good. And it doesn't look like you one up him, you know more halacha than him, and sorry, you know, if he'll sue you, I don't know this will stand up in court, right? You bring, don't you? Rabbi, I mean the judge, your honor, it's the favorite pasuk in the Torah, right? You believe in the Old Testament. You made me swear by it.
Downtown, they don't know by sex.
But this is a very important point. What happens if a person has a loan with a secular Jew who did not write a prosbul? So that means you don't have to pay him back? So Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with this. It's interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein was not asked this as a question in his response of his Igros Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about this when he's learning the Gemara in Gittin. It's on the back of your sheets. So Rav Moshe and the Dibros Moshe in Gittin, Ha'aron number Nun Beis. Rav Moshe has a very interesting idea. By Reisman applies the Rav Moshe, I found. But Rav Moshe says the simple idea of how we understand how Shemitah works, Shemitah's Ksofen, is automatically, if the clock strikes New Year's, all debts are canceled. There is another way to look at it. And really, this idea traces back to the Rishonim, to the early poskim. They say that's not how it works. It's not automatic. When this, at the end of the Shemitah year, you, as the lender, have an obligation to cancel the debt. But it doesn't happen automatically. And therefore, that makes for a very interesting halachic difference. So you have an obligation to cancel the debt. Great. What happens if you didn't cancel the debt? You don't know about these halachas. You know what the halacha is? You still owe the money. The debt is still there. The person who didn't know of these halachas, okay, if he willingly violated it, so then, or even, you know, he knew of it and wasn't so careful, okay? So he has some responsibility to that. Certainly if he never learned it, you know, that you wouldn't even call that an avera, it's a tinuk shenishba, right? He's not responsible for such a thing. But the debt 100% is still there. And therefore, Moshe writes, therefore, let's see, Moshe / Rabbi Reisman implies the idea from Moshe that in such a case, you would still 100% have to pay back, even if the person never wrote a prosbul. Because the debt's there.
And the person wants to pay it back anyway. Could he, or is that
a... Excellent. That's, right?
Ribbis or something?
I got non-Alton questions I was prepared for. Right? So that, I will bring you the Shulchan Aruch. Excellent point. If you look in the middle of your sheets, the Shulchan Aruch talks about this. He says, Hamachzer chov sha'over olav shvias, if you return a debt after Shemitah passed, yomolo hamal v'mishamar ani, v'kvar nifter mimeno. If someone will come to you after Shemitah passed, and again, we're talking pre-prosbul, the person does not write this document, so you're supposed to inform the guy, you don't have to pay me. It's Shemitah. The debt was canceled / I canceled the debt. However, Omerlo afal piki returning to the Kabbal, the guy says, I understand that. I still want to give you the money. The halacha is you Kabbal mimenu. You should take his money. Easy mitzvah, no?
It's a gift.
Right?
This happened before.
Yes. Huh?
This before.
After. Okay? And the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch spells out, like you said, Ed, that the person should say, I'm not giving this as my debt, rather this is just a present. But there is such a thing, and the Shulchan Aruch seems, the Rambam uses this lashon, that the rabbis applaud somebody who pays back his debt, even though his debt was canceled. Gemara even has stories of a poor Amora that the guy came to pay back his debt, and then Rabbah told him, I canceled your debt. And so the guy went and said, okay, and just left and didn't pay him. And Rabbah was a poor person who needed the money, and someone else reached out to this person, you know, you really should give it. You know, if you would see the halacha, you would see that that is the right thing to do. In that situation, for sure, the best thing is to repay that, even though the person, quote unquote, practically did cancel it. Yes.
So the cancellation is not automatic.
According to some shitas, most Rishonim hold it is automatic.
Okay.
Then Moshe does utilize this idea that maybe it's not automatic, but therefore that's something to do if you come to me and you've got to write a prosbul. I have debts. What should I do? So then you get into these situations that we might.
So, my tax receivable, I should write a prosbul.
Yes. We would recommend, I'll get to the, about the transition in a moment.
Are we doing that in class here?
The practical writing of a prosbul, I'm going to show you in a second if we're eligible or not. But I want to transition now into the writing of a prosbul, the importance of it, and really why it's something that absolutely everyone in this room, without an exception, every single person in this room should do. As long as you're over bar mitzvah, which I think you are, right? Everyone in this room should do. Write a prosbul. Now, how does a prosbul work? So, the basic understanding of a prosbul is that an individual is not allowed to collect a loan. But Beis Din, as an entity, the courts, with their powers, they always have power to collect debts. And therefore, the document of a prosbul, the way it's enacted, is I'm transferring my debts to Beis Din, and they will collect on my behalf. I, as an individual, have no right to collect, but I'm giving it to Beis Din, and Beis Din will authorize the collection. They will do the collection for me. Now, practically, what that means is you have to get your debt to a Beis Din. The Shulchan Aruch first talks about, okay, so write a document signed by two Edom, and they'll deliver that document to Beis Din. Shulchan Aruch does talk about that. But the minute that we do nowadays is more direct. We convene a Beis Din, we have a court, and the minimum court is three judges. We give over to them our debts, and now they'll collect them, quote unquote, they'll collect on our behalf, and I would be able to collect my loan. Now, someone asked me, Harvey, what happens? Do you have to inform all the people you lent money to that, hey, buddy, you better pay me because I took out a prosbul? I believe the halacha is everyone should assume that a prosbul is used and you have to pay back. If a prosbul wasn't used, then the obligation would be when the halacha that Alan just pushed us into before. When you come to pay back the loan, the lender will tell you it was knocked off. So it goes the other way. The assumption is a prosbul was utilized. If it wasn't, then the lender would have the obligation to tell you, I didn't knock it off. There wasn't a prosbul. It was knocked off, excuse me. Yes?
If you have a loan that you took out and your lender may or may not do a prosbul, but if you were to tell him, do the prosbul, I intend to pay you, is there an obligation on you to tell him that in a case where you know if you tell him, he'll do it?
Yeah, you probably should tell people, you know, about this. They should know the halachas and know them. We'll see in a moment how far I think we should. I think the information, this halacha, really should be spread more and the importance of it. Now, what type of Beis Din do you need? The Shulchan Aruch says you need a Beis Din mumchen, a Beis Din of expert judges who know these halachas well, and for them to utilize that. What that means is you can't just make what we call an ad hoc, three Jews together, boom, we have a Beis Din. That's what we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah for Atar Sadar. That's the minhag. But when it comes to Shemitah, Shulchan Aruch says, you need expert judges. And Sfardim, Shulchan Aruch says that black and white, Pash Pshat, they should be machmer and such a thing. However, there are those that are makel to differing degrees. The biggest cool I found was in Shulchan Aruch Harav, where there he writes, you could have any three Jews, just like you have by Atar Sadarim, that will also be sufficient.
Yeah.
The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, right, any three observant Jews would work. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch did one level beyond that. So it's not just good enough to have three observant Jews. You should really have three B'nai Torah, people who spend time learning, B'nai Torah, Kol people, whatever. L'maisa, there are those that do try to get a Bezdin of Tamil Chamim Vakim. You know, I saw some Bezdin in Lakewood was sending out their, you know, their Shemitah Prosbols that you could sign. They actually had like two steps. You'd have a local Bezdin, but the local Bezdin would give over to this Supreme Court, you know, in Lakewood. Right? Who knew that the Supreme Court was in Lakewood, Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, lots of cities. But another important thing, just a couple other halachas. What happens to women? Very important. A married woman, her husband could take care of her debts. Her husband is responsible for all her money. As long as the husband goes through the process, writes a prosbul for his family, that will work for a married woman. Unfortunately, what about a woman who's not married? A woman who's single, a woman who's divorced, a woman who's widowed. She also needs to write a prosbul. Women have debts, people owe them money too. Woman needs to write a prosbul. That's an area which is tricky because they're not coming to Shul Av Rosh Hashanah. They may not have gone to the Rav Sher. They may not know about this. And it is an important thing that people know of these halachas. And if someone knows, you know, nice old lady that, you know, may not be familiar, you can offer it to her. The same way you might offer to her to go to shul and burn her chametz, she'll also offer, you know, should I take care of your prosbul? It does get a little tricky, though. Like, look, if she herself would, you know, come in contact with three rabbis or three Jews, whatever, and put together, fine. What would get a little tricky, what happened? Okay, she's not. She's a little old lady. She doesn't go to shul. Could you do a prosbul verbally without a shtar? So it's machlokas mechaber Ramah. The mechaber says no. The Ramah does allow for it. So that means if she's a smarty old lady, she can't just call up on the phone you to convene three judges and to do that. Right? A verbal prosbul wouldn't work. What about utilizing shlichus? So shlichus for this area is the debatable point. Not so simple. What would be easier to do is to sign a document for her to sign that I want to give over my debts. You transfer that document, you give that document over. That would be easier than just verbally appointing a messenger to do it on her behalf. So it does get tricky.
So written shlichus would work.
Right, it wouldn't be considered written shlichus. So it'll be a tzava. It'll be, you know, she's asking the Beis Din that they should do this on her behalf.
No, she's saying beforehand, you know, fine, just like we asked the little lady to bring the chametz for her,
right,
on her behalf. So
right,
we're asking also.
Right, so shlichus is not so simple. There are those that say it works, but really you go to the old lady with two other people and say, can we, you know, help you with your debts? That would be the better way to do things. Yes. And one last thing, Bachrin, someone who has money, and guys lend money, right? You see it every day in Yeshiva, a guy wants to buy something, you see, this, that, go out to eat. Money is lent. Bachrin should all write a prosbul. 100%. They utilize cash, they lend money. That's something to do. So, if you look again in the back of your sheet, so could we convene the Beis Din here in this room? Probably going to most sheets, we probably could. But, you know, I don't know why Rabbanim don't get into the business of the same way they sell chametz. They shouldn't, you know, maybe get around in the business and utilize prosbuls. But they're busy preparing their drushas for the High Holy Days. So, you know, I guess, you know, it's not so easy they do. Yes.
Sorry, Rabbi, how detailed does the crucible need to be? Does it have to mention the items, the values?
No, excellent point, excellent point. It does not have to get into any specifics of the loan. This is a very, very broad language document. I have the Hebrew version on the sheets, but I actually have an English version over here, which I think I have an English version. Yeah, I had an English version somewhere, but where it does not have to get specific. It's relatively simple. You just have to sign if the data sign where it's at, and have three judges involved in it. And Be'ezus Hashem, the schos of us, doing all of our business al pi halacha, according to the way the Torah gives us, we should be zocha to all the brachos and have lots of business and lots of money to do our mitzvahs with. Amen. Okay, good to be sure. Next week, just the timing schedule, is I think practically this is the last share before Hashanah. Because next week is already Slichos week, which is a busy week. So I'm not doing a share here next week. And the following week already is Erev Hashanah. So thus I'm giving you fair warning. Now's the time. Right at Prozbol, and Be'ezus Hashem, after Rosh Hashanah, we'll convene for one share before Sukkot. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a Ksiva Chesima Tova.
We have to do a Prozbol for a debt of gratitude for your giving.